You're listening to the Hyperfish podcast with Jeremy Thake. Be sure to check out our three product, Hyperfish Lite, to make sure all your users in Office 365 have photos. Okay, so I've driven down to kind of a second campus here in Seattle, down to Microsoft Avanta buildings, which are kind of, for anyone who's been in this area, kind of right through Bellevue and along the 90 and you're out that way, and they're really nice new buildings. So thanks, John, for joining the show today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And I feel like as a running joke, I always screw up last names, and I would have totally screwed this up if I hadn't asked you before. So it's John Levesque.
Yes, yes. So, very French.
Very French. So I'm guessing Canada originally, your family?
Yeah, I'm the first generation American. My parents are both from Quebec, all my grandparents, the whole lineage.
And how long have you lived down here?
I've lived here in Washington for almost 14 years now. I moved to Connecticut. That's where I was born. Lived there until I was 19, then moved out here after that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so what do you do at Microsoft?
I am a senior program manager on the Microsoft Flow team. I focus on community engagement and evangelism.
Right. And so that's why we see so much of you on the socials.
Yes. Yes. Especially lately. I have really, really tried to up my game since they told me, hey, you're the evangelist. I was like, all right, well, I better start talking more about this.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what made you, like, obviously, if you've been at Microsoft, this is your role that you started with at Microsoft.
This is not the role I started with at Microsoft.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, no, I've been at Microsoft 2.5 years prior
on two
other teams. So I actually was on the Power Apps team prior to this.
Yeah.
And then before that, I was on another no-code, low-code tool called Windows App Studio.
Right.
And so, yeah, I went from Windows App Studio, and actually it was before Power Apps. It was Project Sienna where I went.
It was Sienna.
Yep. And then from Sienna into Power Apps. Then I hopped out for a year. I went and did some work for a drone company. I'm a huge drone fan and had an opportunity in that space. Went and tried it out, decided it wasn't everything it was cracked up to be. And then after 10 months, came back to Microsoft and then landed here on the Flow team.
So you're the boomerang employee, is it kind of more recently?
A little bit. Yeah. Well, the first two times, I feel like it was because I did a really good job. Other teams kind of poached me. They're like, hey, you're doing really good stuff over here. We want you to come do it for us, and we have a bigger project and more money, and we'll give you a better position. And it's like hard to refuse something like that.
Right.
So you're like, yeah, I'll do that. But then the drone thing, yeah, a little boomerang out and back in for sure. Yeah.
And so what attracted you to Flow? Like, if you were to describe Flow in, you know, 30 seconds, what would be the elevator pitch for this product?
It's the new systems integrator. You no longer, as the person, have to sit between all the systems. I don't have to wait for the email that has the report to pull the data, to move it so that I can do the next report. I can just have Flow listen. It grabs the report out of the email. It strips the lines out. It moves the data where it needs to go. And suddenly I have hours freed up. And so that's the pitch I tell everybody is you have manual work that you're doing. You have all these things that you do repetitively. Flow can just be the replacement for that and give you hours back.
And so historically, where did this come from? Because I think there's a lot of different perceptions of why Microsoft built this service.
So we're actually built on the Logic Apps engine. And so Logic Apps is a developer-focused tool, very similar to Flow, allows you to build workflow and automation. And Microsoft, with Power Apps, decided that they wanted to enter the low-code, no-code space and really empower the citizen developer. And so then Flow came on the scene as a simplified version of Logic Apps to give average users the ability to create their own workflows and be more productive.
Right. And so I think, you know, a lot of my audience coming from the SharePoint world and the Office 365 world immediately see this as, oh, Microsoft needed to build a successor to SharePoint Designer workflows now that they have this cloud offering. But I think, you know, my interpretation of this from when I was at Microsoft was that wasn't really necessarily what the initial intent was. It was more of a supported thing to Power Apps to start with.
It's correct. Yeah, it was meant to extend Power Apps further, and it still is today, right? Not as its main focus, but still as one of its abilities. It does make Power Apps extend much further and be able to do more things than it could without. But you're right. It wasn't the intention to replace SharePoint Workflow Designer. That announcement announcement has come much later. The SharePoint team kind of saw the direction we were heading and coupled with us very closely. And now we work with them, you know, on a daily basis. And now only in the past year, I think, have they said that officially we will become the replacement. But yeah, you're right. It wasn't the original intention.
Yeah. And so for all intents and purposes, if you're not on Office 365, like Flow is still something that you can use and be licensed for without needing Office 365.
That's correct. Yeah. So there are some independent SKUs. You can buy Flow yourself for, we have $5 and $15 a month plans. There's also a free SKU, which you can go and play around and get 750 Flow runs in a month. And I've actually done some blogs on if you just have Flow free, how you can still get value using Excel, using some of the free connectors and still make useful items out of it.
Right. Okay. And do you see this as more of a targeted towards business, or is there a kind of a thing where this could be really relevant to someone that is using this for their own personal lives as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, both. I would say I have very personal flows that I use, but more of my flows are definitely for business uses. But that's the beauty of it. It's flexible to be both, right? So for instance, a personal one, this Valentine's Day, I created a flow that all I had to do was input an email address and I had a pre-canned Valentine that would get sent out to the person that I put the email address in for.
Such a player.
I've been working on a flow to really help my relationship status, right? So I have a pool of like, hi, honey, hey, sweetie, hello, beautiful. And then like another pool of like nice poems and nice like compliments and things to say. And so I'll hit the flow button and I'll put in a phone number and it's going to grab the greeting and a body piece and then text it off. And so those are some personal ones. For business, I do a ton. I try and automate as much as I can of my job. And so I had a process previously where I worked with the social media team, and to get them tweets, you'd be amazed at what it takes to like get tweets out here at Microsoft. Well, you have to like fill out a SharePoint form, and then you have to email back and forth with a person, and you have to then give them a folder of assets, and it becomes really, really, really convoluted. Mm-hmm. And so I created a flow that basically grabs a SharePoint list every month, goes then and seeks all the images out of a folder, takes all that information and creates a spreadsheet in XLS, and then emails it off to that team. So I don't have to fill out the forms. They just get a spreadsheet with here's the tweet text, here's the tweet date, here's all the links, and it's just super simple for them. And I just input it in a SharePoint list every month. Once that flow runs, it takes all that info out, puts it in an archive, and then I just restart the process again.
And that's all built with zero code?
Zero code. Okay. Zero code. And I actually have a blog out there on the Flow blog that teaches you how you can do that one too.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so I guess, you know, from my perspective, it's like if you catch yourself doing something over and over again each month, or you get, you don't look forward to the end of the month because there's these like grueling processes you have to do, there's likely going to be a way of doing this with Microsoft Flow to kind of save you all that time.
Absolutely. Yeah. On the personal productivity end, it's anything that you do over and over and over, you can totally flow out. And then, you know, obviously it can support bigger workflow process with approvals and branching conditions and all sorts of parallel runs. And it can get really, really complex. But as far as personal productivity goes, I find it extremely useful in my own work.
So, and I worked in the extensibility space before I slammed Microsoft for this, but traditionally with Microsoft, their ecosystem of growing all the adapters that are needed, often, you know, they don't eventuate that quickly. Whereas if you look at something like the Amazon Echo, which my house is full of, there's never a time where I question whether that Echo skill is going to exist. It typically is there. Has Flow got those, is connectors the right term? What's the terminology of being able to trigger an event based on, that fires Flow based on an event in another system? Like how many of those things exist right now today?
Oh man, there are thousands of triggers. So we have over 215 connectors, which are like your services such as SharePoint and Outlook and Slack and Salesforce. And then each of those connectors then has a series of triggers and actions. And so I actually don't know the exact number of triggers we have out there, but we expand it every week. So I'll say 215 right now on the podcast. And when someone listens to this in like 2 or 3 weeks, 2 weeks from now, it'll probably be like 220.
Right. Okay.
You know, and so we're rapidly advancing our connector base, and then those triggers that you spoke of. Should I talk a bit about what that means?
Yeah, that'd be great.
So triggers, flows are built in two parts. And so there's a trigger, which we have three kinds. And what we're talking about with those connectors are data triggers, right? So when a row is created in Excel, when an item is created in SharePoint, when a record is made in Dynamics, when an update is made to this item in this folder, those are data events that then can trigger a flow. And so that's one type of trigger. The next one is we have this idea of manual flows where there's a button, either a physical button that sits on a desk or a button on your phone, on your mobile. And when I press that, then it kicks off the flow and takes some subsequent set of actions. And the last kind of trigger we have is scheduled. So let's say I need a flow to run every day at 6 a.m. or every 30 days to create a report. I could then create a scheduled flow that ran on that schedule for me. Now, triggers kick off actions. And so actions can be anything like take this data and move it over here, or create this file, or send an email, or create an alert, or start an approval. And then from the approval, we have these ideas of conditions as well. So when I set the approval, I can then create a condition that says, if this is approved, then do this.
Right.
If not, do that. And then I can have all sorts of branching logic happen from there.
Okay. And so I guess from that perspective, like it can replace a lot of the business processes, but I think the value is that a business user can do this rather than kind of getting a developer on board to go build a logic app with Azure Functions in the background and
exactly
the typical,
yeah,
like Azure developer play that I'm familiar with from my old role.
Totally. And you know, to give you a good example of that, my background is marketing, right? And community. And so I'm a non-developer and I have probably 50 flows that run all the time. And I probably have another 150 that I've tested and that are disabled or in some state of disarray right now. But it definitely speaks to the fact that I'm a non-technical user, right? I'm a marketing guy. I'm an evangelist, and mm-hmm. I'm able to go and build meaningful process and meaningful workflows that can not only support organizations and not only my own work, but also the organization as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a non-technical user, I built a flow recently, that helps support a partnership between Microsoft and Upwork. And so it's an actual in-production flow that they use that helps support this partnership so that Microsoft employees can request Upwork projects through Upwork Enterprise. And so I built that flow. They're talking about it this week. There's a big press release actually that's going to happen about it. And so I built that.
That's
for
really
them.
Cool. You're putting developers out of business, man.
Hey, I mean, when you have great tools, I think, you know, it speaks to the power of it all, right?
And you've clearly been doing this for enough time where you don't even smirk when you say, I have lots of flow runs.
I didn't smirk, yeah.
And what are these flow buttons? I've not heard of those before. Is that like an Amazon Dash button?
So very similar. So there are physical ones. BTTN is one of the makers and FLIC is the other. And you can buy it from those two websites, BTTN and FLIC. And basically what they are is I like the BTTN better because they have Wi-Fi built in. They're a little more expensive, but you don't have to tether them to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I hit the button, I can then say, oh, one tap, that equals something. So for instance, we have the EBC here, the Executive Briefing Center, where we show products to the executives.
Mm-hmm.
And in those AV rooms, the buttons are on the table, flow buttons, and they hit it. If there's an issue, that sends a ticket off to the guy down the hall, alerting him to come to that room and fix it.
That's cool.
Now, another use is when I know someone who does sessions and they use their flow button and they have a little sign and it says, tap once if you liked it, tap twice if you hated it, press down and hold if you were neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're able to then gather that data to then see how people enjoyed their session.
That's really cool.
Another quick example is I created this flow for a company who has a warehouse, and they put a flow button by the warehouse door. So they used to spend a lot of time. The deliveries were supposed to come at 11:30. They'd have guys standing around. The deliveries would be wait. They're wasting a ton of man hours. You know, even if 20 guys are standing there waiting for 15 minutes, that's a lot of man hours wasted. So we created a flow that sends everyone in the place a mobile alert, letting them know that the truck arrived to come and unload it. So the first guy that sees it just goes to the door and hits the button. Everyone else can come and then react.
That's really clever.
Yeah.
I can see that replacing like the clap clap in the house.
Totally. Totally.
Turning lights or setting moods and different things.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'll have to look into those. Okay, so for the listeners that are really focused on Office 365, like there's a lot of different scenarios you've already mentioned, but out of interest, what would you say are like the top five Office 365 type Microsoft flows that get created by, you know, business users inside of Office 365?
Yeah, so we see a lot of people starting with this one. It's a template that we have, and what it does is when you get an email with attachments, it basically takes those attachments and drops them into a folder in OneDrive. So that way you don't have to be searching your inbox for your attachments. If you know a relative date when you got it, you just go to that folder, find it, and use it. And so we see a lot of people getting started with that one. It's not the most complex thing, but it is really useful. Once you start using it and you see all your attachments there, you're like, man, that's pretty good. I can't believe I didn't do this earlier. Mm-hmm. Now, outside of that, obviously, we get more complex, right? And what flow, one of the major uses is notifications and alerts. And so a lot of different tools have notifications and alerts built in already, but some of the systems are lacking, right? You might want to have an alert in a place where the system doesn't allow. Well, then you can bring in flow. And so, you know, for instance, I could say that when a lead is created in Dynamics, I want to not only alert the person that it's assigned to, but I also want to send an alert off to their manager or to that customer, letting them know who it's been assigned to, right? I could then set up multiple different alerts along the way. So that way flow kind of comes in and adds a little value in that tool that wasn't there before.
And can you do things in those scenarios like it does? I mean, you mentioned SMS, like, so you've got the ability to use things like Twilio to send SMS.
Yep, Twilio and Nexmo, I believe, are two of the SMS providers we have.
And then emails, can you get to the point of posting to someone's Windows 10 desktop yet, or is that kind of...
So we have seen some very clever, hacky PowerShell stuff now, but then we're definitely stepping into the developer space to get there right now.
And so then that will be just an action that you drag and drop onto Flow maybe in the future that...
Hopefully so. Yeah. I hear some rumblings about PowerShell. So, So I'm assuming that in the future we'll have some access to that.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
So, okay. So as an example, and I think this is how we kind of reached out to each other was, our product has some scenarios where we send emails to people to approve things. But one of our customers wanted to actually take the email that was sent to the approver, which in this case was their manager. And if there was a certain period of time gone by, take that exact email and send it to their manager. So the manager's manager to escalate it essentially.
Yep.
Our backlog is big and we have lots of features and our dev team, because only one customer's asking for it, wasn't something we're going to get to in time because there's other priorities. But with Flow, what we're able to do with the customer is kind of monitor that sent box where all the emails are being sent from by our system. And basically... do a system check to see whether it had been approved or not. And if not, grab that exact same email. And then within the flow, there was an activity where you could go look up that person's manager by just using the to person in the email. And then essentially resend that email to that new looked up manager field.
Yeah.
I've recorded the YouTube video. It was like 3 minutes end to end. It took me all of 15 minutes to do a bit of Googling to kind of find out how to do that. So it's simple things like that that seem quite complex and we can't do this with the customer. We actually like, no, Flow can actually work for that scenario.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, those examples like that, those are the ones we hear of one-offs like that all over the place. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of Flow, right? Is that it is so extensible and it connects to so many things and it offers so many actions that those one-off cases like that, I think even, you know, you spoke to a developer backlog, you were able to create a solution that then the developer didn't have to, or even if he had a few moments, could have probably created himself and saved himself a ton of time.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, that's one of the major beauties of it. And I think for this audience, you know, I hope that, they'll go check out Flow and get creative and get, you know, inspired to go and try and see if they can make these one-off things happen for themselves too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what other ones? So you kind of mentioned notifications, you mentioned kind of this approval aspect. What other ones do you see most commonly?
So we are starting to see a lot with these Flow buttons. And so we recently introduced the idea of image capture, either through like your photo library or live through the camera. And so we're starting to see some use cases with cognitive services where pictures are taken and then those are run through the cognitive service model to say, you know, for instance, we did one for fun recently, a coworker and I don't know if you guys watch Silicon Valley, but they did an app called Hot Dog Not Hot Dog.
Yeah.
And we made it with Flow and it actually works. We created a vision model that understands what hot dogs are. And when we take a picture with a Flow button, we can run it through the model and it will tell us if it's a hot dog or not a hot dog.
That's
obviously not a great business use case, but think about it in the essence of what if you had a nursery where you stocked plants and instead of walking around with a clipboard and then going and entering that data in, you could walk around with a tablet, take a picture of a plant. It's recognized as lilies. An order form comes up. Would you like to reorder? Would you like to backfill? Would you like to cancel an order, right? All your different actions that you would take could be there because the system itself recognized lilies.
Mm-hmm.
And again, now this is something that it sounds really, really complex and typically would take a developer to create. But with Flow, again, we're able to kind of go around that need for a developer, create a vision model, build a flow that we can then use the Flow button on to take pictures and start to leverage that power of cognitive services.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah.
And so how are you licensing this? Because obviously you mentioned there's a free and then there's a $10 and a $15 plan for...
Five and 15.
Yep. For personal. But if I'm in an Office 365 world and someone's driving their car right now listening to us and they're like, oh, I don't really want to have to talk my... We'll go find the person that owns the Office 365 license to go talk them into switching on Flow. Like, what's the scenario for the average business user that has... Outlook already and OneDrive and is using SharePoint?
Yeah. So if you have an O365 license, you already have Flow in your waffle. Now, there are some cases we see where it has been turned off, but that is definitely the rarity. I would say right now you could go to your waffle and check and you most likely have Flow and you have entitlements to it. So as an O365 user, you get access to Flow and 2,000 Flow runs a month. And so what that means is you can build a Flow that says, check my email, and when I get an email from this person, send me a push notification. Every one of those that happens counts as one run. Now, if you schedule flows, you can kind of do that a bit differently, but I don't want to confuse everybody. So O365 and D365, if you have a Dynamics 365 license as well, you already have Flow inside of your waffle and you can use it today.
Right, okay. And so if you cap over your 2,000 a month, say you've sent 2,000 emails to this one person, you probably are doing something wrong at that point.
You are definitely doing something wrong then, yes.
But what happens at that point? Because it's a pool of 2,000s per user, right?
Yeah, so it is aggregate across the tenant as well. And so if you have 10 users, that's 20,000 runs for the whole tenant. And mm-hmm. so if you use 2,000, but your neighbor didn't use any, you could then push into their Flow runs and it would count towards just the overall tenant aggregate.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I'm guessing there's a way of buying additional.
There definitely is. Yeah. So you can, when you run out of Flow runs, let's say your tenant ran out, we offer bundles of 50,000 runs for, I believe, $40.
Okay. So we're not going to be losing any sleep.
No. Okay. No.
It's not some crazy, like it's $10,000 once you hit your cap.
No, that would be crazy. Yeah, it's $5 a month. And then once you go over 2,000, 10,000 per run.
Right.
No.
We've got you in our work, he says. And so there's no additional charges for, say, using triggers from other systems or anything like that?
So the one caveat is we do have this idea of premium connectors. And so we have admin functionality. Like DLP and environments. And so to get access to the admin features and to the premium connectors, you have to have a premium package for Flow. And so that would either be you would have to buy the individual flow plan for $15 a month, or you would have to have a Power Apps plan, which is $40 a month.
Right.
Okay. And so those, either of those give you access to premium connectors and all the admin capabilities.
Right. So, and those would be connecting off to things like Salesforce and other systems.
Correct. Salesforce, I believe, is a premium. I also believe Twilio is a premium.
Right. Okay.
But the caveat to that is when people hear that, they're like, oh man, that just upped our license cost a lot. But the beauty to that is the person creating those flows needs to have
the P2 license,
the premium license. As a user who instantiates those flows, who just uses those flows and doesn't build them, your Office 365 license is plenty to cover that.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's probably the clearest I've heard that explained as well. Nice job.
Oh, thank you.
I hate licensing, but it's one of those things where people like, if you're going to go and talk to John, you really need to kind of bring that up, because a lot of people just don't seem to get that it's there and you can use it and it's not a big deal.
Yeah, good. I'm glad I could clear that up.
The licensing wizard. From that, I guess, you know, hopefully as people kind of inspires them to go and do and try these things out. But I, you know, sometimes pulling people out of their box to what they live in is hard. And, you know, often we get this notion of, well, you know, I use SharePoint Designer right now. And I guess from my own perspective, you know, I haven't used SharePoint Designer in probably 5, maybe 6 years. Primarily because it hasn't been touched since 2007, really.
Yeah.
It's had a lick of paint a few times to kind of keep it above water. But the big thing that a lot of people ask is like, can Microsoft Flow replace SharePoint Designer? I know we started the show essentially saying that, look, the intent wasn't for Flow to replace it. But has there been any kind of developments there where you've been working closely with SharePoint engineering? I know Jem and Chucks now has moved over from SPFX team into kind of working closely with Flow and Power Apps. How has that journey gone from sure, you don't need SharePoint Designer anymore at all? Like, where are we at right now, line in the sand?
Yeah, so Merwan on the Flow team works every day with the SharePoint team on that integration.
Right.
So to speak to your question, you know, can it replace it, or how should it be thought of in that way? I think, you know, the big thing that I tell people is that right now, SharePoint Workflow Designer does a lot of great things, and Flow does most of those things too. Now, we definitely still have a couple issues, right, with like multi-select values and people fields and a couple kind of custom fields as well. But we're getting there, right? Mm-hmm. We understand those limitations. We are working to bridge the gap. And the goal being that we will be able to support every single thing that SharePoint Workflow Designer supports. And also then the beauty being we already support hundreds and thousands of things that they don't. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to speak to those users that would say, I'm used to doing it this way and do I need to change? I would say, no, you don't need to change. But if you want more power, if you want to move outside the SharePoint ecosystem and begin to build more meaningful workflows with more data sets, I think that, yes, you should change. Also, the announcement has been made by the SharePoint team that it will be the official replacement. So at some point, you're gonna have to change
and switch over.
Yeah.
And I guess from a learning curve perspective, investing in this, like, this isn't going away. I know Microsoft in the past had this habit of like kind of changing things. You mentioned Sienna and App Studio and now it's become Power Apps. I mean, that was quite a big journey evolving through there. But the fact that this is built on top of an Azure cloud service of Logic Apps, and you know, there's a lot of strategy behind Flow, not just attached to SharePoint, attached to Dynamics, it's attached to the personal kind of guide of where Microsoft are going as well. I don't see this going away. I just see this getting bigger and bigger and bigger and benefiting from whatever the Logics team do under the hood at a developer scale as well.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a fair assumption. We're not going anywhere. We are we're hitting our stride, right? Momentum is strong right now. Internal adoption here at Microsoft is really, really growing.
People have got like 10 buttons on their desk.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's crazy. We hear from teams inside of Microsoft all the time. MSIT is building Power Apps and Flows. Like I said, the Upwork team. I mean, it's finance, Sela. There's projects everywhere where people are adopting.
Sela's the legal guys for people.
Sela's the legal guys. Yeah, sorry.
They're the ones to avoid. I love you, really.
And then externally as well, we every day are hearing of new ways that people are using it. Companies are coming to us and saying, hey, we're doing this. Have you thought of this? And it's really, we're growing rapidly. Usage is growing rapidly. And I think that we are definitely here to stay. And to speak to the point, like, we have an independent strategy for sure. We're working on what Flow is. But then you mentioned, you know, Office and Dynamics. And as much as we're working on our own zone and really developing our identity and what we're doing, we also are working very deeply in our partnerships in those areas to make sure that the extensibility for those product groups really makes sense as well. And so, because the idea being, we really want to be the glue for everything Microsoft, right? We have this Dynamics sphere, we have this Office sphere, we have this Azure sphere, and then ideally we have Flow in the middle of it all that bridges all of the gaps into all the areas that you want to be, you know, doing more meaningful work.
And is there a Cortana play yet with voice?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. No.
Do you notice he said yet?
I haven't. I'll be totally honest. I haven't heard any rumblings about it either. Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool. Like, I can just see a bunch of things where you just kind of trigger something that then a Flow does at home, whatever.
It would be awesome.
Assuming that you have Cortana and more than just your desktop down in your office, but
even if it was on my desktop, I feel like I could do a lot with that. That's true.
Yeah, just like hands-free commanding a bunch of things around the house.
Yep.
Okay. And then, so then how would you get started? Like, if people are like, okay, you've got me, John, like, I would need to go to one place to kick off and build my first Flow, where would you go?
So I'm going to point you to Guided Learning. I would say go to the Flow website. Click on Learn at the top, go to Guided Learning. I've created 14 videos there that walk you through all the basics. What is a Flow? How to build a template? How to build your first Flow from scratch? How to start with approvals? How to automate your social media? And I kind of take you through from beginner to intermediate, the whole journey. And so if you're going to start, I would absolutely recommend go check out the Guided Learning, follow that. By the end, you'll definitely be able to build templates. You'll probably be able to build Flows from scratch. You'll definitely understand what triggers and actions are, and you'll be able to start thinking in workflow.
Cool. And then in terms of following you, what's the best ways to keep up with you? Because being the evangelist, I'm sure it's not going to be hard to stumble across you on the internet.
Yeah. Best way is at PNW Adventure Guy on Twitter. I talk there constantly. I run all my challenges out of there. I give away stuff there. When I ask for suggestions, it's all there. I do weekly videos and I say, hey, what's the next video I'm going to make next week? And I let you guys pick. And so it's definitely Twitter. Again, at PNW Adventure Guy on Twitter.
Cool. And then is there anyone else, and this could like bury you in a hole here by saying, who are the other people to watch from social on Flow? Like, do any top of mind ones come up right now?
Yeah. So I probably have five or six that I can name right off the top of my head. So John Liu, who is a previous guest of yours, he is an amazing, amazing Flow developer. He's definitely on the more technical end and he uses it in a way that most people don't, but he's amazing in what he does. And I would definitely say him. Serge Luca is always also talking Flow. And then a few of our MVPs, Daniel Christian, Daniel Laskowitz, Melissa Hubbard, and Paul Colmsey. I would follow all those guys.
We've had Paul on the show too.
Awesome.
So Paul's from Perth, where I used to live. So we were actually worked together for a long time too.
Oh, nice. I love Paul.
Yeah, he's good fun. Yeah. He's always got these kind of weird ways of looking at things and coming up with the answers. And I've noticed between him and John, there's all these discussions online where they're kind of trying to one-up each other.
Well, we have a running joke. We say that John comes up with the craziest, most awesome Flow ideas, and Paul takes them and turns them into stuff that business users can understand.
So the rocket scientists and the crazy scientists.
Exactly, exactly.
And so with Flow, because it's more tied towards Power Apps, like, you know, with SharePoint, we have the SharePoint conference, and then we have Ignite, where we kind of see these major announcements come out. What kind of, I guess, cadence does Microsoft Flow have in terms of when you release things, or is it just always trickling through?
We are always trickling. We release new features every 2 weeks.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So to keep up with that, what's the best way to, you know, if you're waiting for something to come out, like as an example, and I know this is SharePoint orientated, but I know it was a big kind of bugbear on SharePoint people, was when you attached Microsoft Flow to a library, it would be attached as your Flow and not the team's Flow or the library's Flow.
Yep.
And I know that work's been done now to kind of get around that, and so that if someone leaves the organization, the Flow doesn't just disappear and is locked out. How would someone keep up with those kind of announcements coming through?
So that's a great question. I'm trying to figure that out myself, but I think the best way is through the blog. Steven, who is the GPM, the Flow product leader, he does updates. Whenever we do a new release, he'll release a blog post with a summary of the new features.
Okay. So that's the Microsoft Technical Communities.
No, that is the official Flow blog. So go to flow.microsoft.com, go to learn, go to blog.
All right. Okay.
Yep. And we actually have a Flow template that you can use. Actually, if you go into the Flow templates and you search Flow blog, you can create yourself a template that every time we post on the blog, it'll email you an alert. So you don't have to even go look for them. We'll bring them to you.
That's really neat. I should probably build one for the podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
So how does that work? All right. So we just do that. Work this through together. If I've created a flow that's really, really cool, and maybe it's tied to my RSS and I've constructed a cool email that pulls some of the RSS feed out and builds it into the email and then sends that to someone. How does someone else then configure that flow themselves? Like, where do I have to put that so that it's available for them to grab and configure for their own personal use?
So there's a couple different options. You can, if you know the person directly, you can add them as an owner of the flow, and then you could share that flow with them and it'd be a team flow. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to say, share that with someone that wasn't in your tenant, but you knew, say, through your blog, you could export that flow as a zip file, and then you could host it on your blog and say, hey, everyone who wants this, go ahead and download this zip. They would then import it into their environment. It asks them to replace the connections with their own, and then they could then use that flow. It's kind of like a template that you just mm-hmm. hand from one person to the next. Now, if you wanted it to go widespread and be available to everyone, you can actually go to the flow details page, click on more, and then submit that flow as a template. And then we as the flow team will go through, clean out all your personal details, and then host it on the site as a template for other people to then use.
Yeah, that's interesting. So in my scenario for the podcast, would that be something that would be accepted in the marketplace, or is that kind of more?
I think with your, you could do both. So there's nothing that says you couldn't submit it as an official template.
Yeah.
But personally, I might go with the zip method to mm-hmm. distribute it that way to my audience directly.
Yeah.
I think if you do it as it is both, now you're really winning, right? Because you can hand it to your audience and you have this ability for an audience that wouldn't have seen it to then see it.
Right, right. That's really cool. Okay. You've just inspired me on a few different things now.
Awesome.
That will help me in my day to day.
Good, good.
And then lastly, from your perspective, like, where do you see this going? Like, from your side, obviously being the evangelist and where Flow is right now, and it ties into, I mean, you've mentioned Office 365 and Dynamics and Azure and kind of the broader world with extensions. What do you see kind of the path forward for this product in the next year or so that you can share? Obviously there's probably internal stuff you can't, but.
Yeah, I gotta think through that one for a moment to make sure that I can map the things I can share and can't share. So I'll try and say it as general as I can. We are going to continue to make the tool easier and easier for the citizen developer. We really want to push into the business productivity space, and Power Apps, Flow, and Dynamics are really going to come together in a more succinct way and a more powerful way, so that you can make sure that you're leveraging your data, your CRM data, in much more meaningful ways. And also, I'd say you'll see, you're going to see the products come together a lot more as well. Mm-hmm. The seams will disappear, you know, between Power Apps and Flow. Right now, you have to leave the Power Apps experience and go to the Flow experience. You're going to see those boundaries begin to disintegrate some. And so I think, you know, those products are going to come together, and we're going to make it easier and easier. And so, you know, like, for instance, we want to make expressions go away. We don't want a user to ever have to type an expression. We want to have a builder that you can just click and drag and drop pieces together to understand how to build those things, so that you don't have to do it yourself, right? Because it takes us out of that citizen space. And so mm-hmm. we want to make sure that we're firmly planted in that space.
Right. Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes. Yeah, so I want to dig a bit on the expressions thing, because I've heard this before from people. There was a decision, I guess, early on in the Flow place where there's expressions in logic apps, which are based on, the syntax is based on what?
The workflow definition language.
Right. So it's a bit more developer-y than would be expected.
It is, yes.
And so with it being built on top of logic apps, rather than kind of translate that into something more simple. And I would laugh and go, Visual Basic is more simple, but it's not at all. Although, you know, you can scare people in Excel sometimes with some of the things that get written there.
Sure, sure.
So what you're saying is that that will become even more easier moving forward.
Much easier. Okay, yeah. I think right now it's, we've grouped things and we've given them descriptions. And so it's slightly less intimidating than it was. Mm-hmm. But we definitely want to make investments to make that experience very streamlined and usable by the average user as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Excellent. Well, look, I really appreciate your time today. That was really good. I've learned a lot from speaking to you on this stuff. And so I'm sure everyone listening has as well. We will definitely get back on the show when there's a big bang of announcements so that we can hear a bit more about where you guys are going with it all.
Awesome.
So flow.microsoft.com is the one URL I have to remember, I guess.
Definitely. Flow.microsoft.com to get started. Click learn, go to guided learning and just follow along. I'll guide you guys the whole way through.
And I'm off to buy 10 buttons to automate my home.
Yes, I love it. Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. This has been great. I'm looking forward to coming back.
Great. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Hypefish podcast. Please go to iTunes and subscribe or to whatever podcast player you use. Please, please, please leave a review on iTunes. It really helps us with our ratings. Also, don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Hypefish.